Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your Cognitive Rampage. You have to believe in the power of you. Uncomfortable is where the change is. You have to be willing to question the impossible, or you're planning for the inevitable. Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you are living your Cognitive Rampage. We are brought to you by Vermont Pure CBD Full Spectrum Wellness Products. Now, if you listen to last podcast, Grant Jacobowski was on the podcast, the founder of that. So if you haven't heard that, I suggest you go back and listen to that podcast. It was Cognitive Rampage 220. He basically told you everything you need to know, and even then some, about CBD and Vermont Pure CBD Full Wellness Products Company, a beautiful company. We got deep into it, but just for the top for you now, look, they grow all their hemp on organic Vermont farmland. That matters. It certainly matters to me. They focus on high CBD and terpene-rich varieties that provide maximum healing benefits. They extract all hemp using high-tech alcohol extraction, not that dangerous butane stuff. They produce the highest quality full-spectrum CBD available. They control the entire process to ensure that they produce the best CBD products on the market. Now, full spectrum, just so you understand it, if you didn't listen to that podcast, means it still contains some THC, but not enough to where it's going to affect you psychoactively. But there are healing properties to the THC, okay? There's isolates that are out there, all right? But when they isolate it like that, it removes some healing properties, some CBN, CBG, some things, again, that you should go back and listen to the podcast with Grant Jacobowski on 220. Go back and listen to that. So the reason full spectrum is more healing is because they leave the full properties in it. They don't pull those things out, all right? So isolates can certainly be helpful, but they're not near as strong medically as a full spectrum product, okay? Especially the fact that it's organic. It's grown on organic farmland, to be specific, okay? So I use this product too. Again, I would not sell or endorse anything I have not used. Do not recommend at all. I wouldn't be doing that at all. So we got to try it out. It has done some wonderful things for me. I don't use it every day. But when I do, it works, whether it's a small ache or pain or something like that, and it's done wonders for psoriasis for myself as well. That runs in my family. It's a gene that's passed down, but, well, no more. So it's amazing the things that you can treat with CBD, especially a full spectrum. Just go to VermontPureCBD.com, enter the promo code Rampage, and you get 10% off, okay? That's VermontPureCBD.com, enter code word Rampage for 10% off. And we are live. Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you are living your Cognitive Rampage. As we're wrapping up 2018, the last podcast in 2018 for the Cognitive Rampage. And I'm going to tell you all my New Year's resolutions. No, I'm not. I'm not going to do it. I did want to talk to people a little bit. I'm going to do it at the end of this podcast, give some not so typical advice. This is a different way, really, to look at it. I will say, I will say that I do hope, you know, you all are, you know, focused on what you want to do, you know, gearing up for it. I mean, look, I've talked a little bit about holidays. You know, I did the, you know, the real story of Thanksgiving, et cetera, and look, I could walk down with the rest of them, you know, all the other conspiracies and time warps of social constructs from Christmas to every month having a holiday, et cetera. I could do all that. And that's okay. You know, I guess, you know, be able to do that. I think competence is okay. You know, doesn't mean I'm denouncing anything. You know, I try to find the good in things, or the silver lining, as I write about in my book. And I'll do that with New Year's, you know, because I'll be honest, it's one of my favorite holidays. It has been for a long time, Because even if it is just a turning of a clock, a make-believe night and all the other stuff, you know, where people set their New Year's resolutions and in case you didn't know, 6 months in to New Year's resolutions, 1% of people will still be on board with their New Year's resolutions. Almost 60% fall out after 60 days, 32% after 30 days, you know, but hey, it's about giving it a shot, right? At least you give it a shot and you square up to do something, and that's okay. You know, it's okay that you may not make it or you may not do it. That's okay, right? It's all right. And, you know, you don't always have to wait till the end of the year either or for a new year to come along to try again, right? To get back up to the plate, to swing one more time, to go one more round, right? To play that whole Rocky, I ain't hear no bell, right? Get back in there and keep swinging, whatever that is. It's okay to do that. You know, I encourage people to continue trying and chasing those dreams. And if New Year's works for you, you know, to set that precedent and do that, then by all means, then do that. You know, I look at it that way sometimes too, is going, hey, something new. It just so happens to be that what I'm doing new in my life here happens to be falling on a new year. I didn't plan it that way or set it up that way. But I certainly have a dream. And that dream is going to come to fruition. I promise you that. You know, I've spent a lot of time. Like I said, I'm not going to tell you what they are. You'll see some of that changing as it comes out, either on the podcast or on my Facebook stuff or wherever I'm talking about it. But, you know, I've learned a lot, I can tell you, in the last 4 or 5 years of doing the Cognitive Rampage podcast, writing the first edition and rewriting that into a second edition and questioning that. I still think a third edition is due for my book, just from stuff I've learned and things I'd like to add and change, but I may not go that way. I may not do that. But you know, I look at goals like that, right? A lot of times that's what you hear a lot of, you know, in the new year, set those goals, attain those goals. And people will argue with me, that, you know, when I say that goals can be a bad thing, they really can. If we focus too much on the goal, you know, I typically say that use goals as a direction, not a destination, you know, because if we do achieve the goal, then what, right? If you achieve the goal, what, you just set new goals, right? And then you keep going with the goals and goals, right? But if we set goals as a direction, let's just say you want to get to goal C, right? Or goal D even, right? You want to get to goal C, you're standing at A. And if goal D is where you're really trying to get to, well, you may miss life opportunities B and C, because life a lot of times put things in your lap that you didn't expect, right? I mean, a lot of times we wind up where we couldn't imagine or where we didn't imagine ourselves to be in that coming year or that next year, right? And I have certainly lived my life by that principle. You know, I take some opportunities when they fall in my lap. Sometimes some opportunities I seek out, some are dreams and goals that I go for. And then I, you know, go right at it. You know, for instance, I give my own example, right? Writing this book, and doing podcasts when I first started out, coming out real hardcore about treatment, addiction, issues in mental health, et cetera. When I did that, when I had goal C, if you will, right, write the book, and then I wound up lucky enough to be on Joe Rogan's podcast, a lot of those things I didn't imagine. I didn't imagine or see myself being blackballed as being a therapist again. I couldn't foresee that coming, right? And so when we are blinded by our goals many times, it's difficult, A, to appreciate what you're doing in the present and miss some opportunities, right? And I passed by an opportunity or two so I could continue with the podcast and continue to write the book, right? Some people may say, hey, that's good. You've met your goal. But I'd say, hey, you know, I hurt people, you know, going, choosing that path. I missed some opportunities. I certainly took a lot out of my own life doing that. So, you know, just be wary of setting goals. Look at them more as a direction, not as some destination, because we certainly can curb that to be, hey, I failed, you know, and, you know, failing is part of it anyway, right? So just be careful as you walk into it, you know, set a direction. A direction is good. Goals can be helpful in a direction to go, but be open to what life may bring you in options B and C, or opportunities B and C, as you're driving toward what that goal will be. And look, I would suggest whatever goal you set, make sure it identifies with your core self, with the philosophy of your life, right? And that's what you're doing, you know. You know, I set out wanted to help a lot of people, you know, when I got into this. First, when I wrote the book and became a counselor and all that, look, I was trying to save my own fucking life. It wasn't about, let me see how many people I can help, and that cliche message. it was save my damn self. And then along the way, I figured, hey, you know, if somebody else gets some stuff out of this, then great. Then that's wonderful, right? And if you've ever messaged me before or reached out to me either on Facebook, Twitter, or something like that, or even email, and thank you for those that have reached out and have said the podcast has helped you out, or the book helped you, or changed your life, etc. That is an honor I don't deserve. And you would know that I respond the same way every time someone reaches out to that, as I would say here, is that you did all of that work. I had nothing to do with it. You did the work. You listened. You read the books. You changed your own life. You did those behaviors. Because without that, I'm just making noises, right? I'm just writing words, empty words on a page. It means nothing. You know, the podcasting and all these, you listened. And if you listened, you applied that and you did the work. That means that's all you, people. That's all you. It has nothing to do with me. So don't take the power away from yourself of what you've been able to accomplish on your own by doing those behaviors, changing your lives and doing the tough things, you know? So talking about changing lives, right? I'm going to cover the top 12 New Year's resolutions people have made going into 2019. And it's a study over almost 40,000 people in surveys, phone calls, emails, a whole bunch of other stuff. So it's a pretty valid survey. It's not like 10 people answered questions, you know what I mean? So, and as I go over these 12, you know, think about your own as well. But it's when I get to the last one, the number 12 resolution, to where I kind of get thrown backwards and take a step back, right? So can you guess the number one? And actually, there are three tied for number one for the top New Year's resolution, the number one resolution. I'm more typically, right, a person would want to go, let me give you 12, 11, 10, 9. But I think those are a little harder to guess, right? So the first ones we can guess, right? And out of these, it was 40,000 people surveyed on here, right? Now, 32% of people said they are not making a New Year's resolution, and that was equal to men and women. So 32% said no. Now, I like to think that maybe 32% of people don't need a New Year's resolution, right? That they're, you know, maybe happy with themselves or content, if you will, right? There's such a line, right, between settling, being content and being happy, right? And then and finding that edge of peace where that lays in there, right? I mean, as if we'll achieve this level, and then are we just plateaued, right? Are we just tapering out to say, hey, I've achieved it. I'm good. I'm finding contentment here. But there's nothing wrong with finding contentment either, right? As finding peace. I think finding peace is a hell of a goal to set as well, or a resolution, if you will. But number one, number, well, 1A, 1B, and 1C, all three tied. It was 37% said they want to eat better, 37% said exercise more, and 37% said spend less money. So all three of those are tied for the number one resolutions. Eat better, exercise more, spend less money. Okay, I gotcha. Now, 42% of women said they wanted to save money versus 31% of men that said they wanted to save money. 4 out of 10 women, or 41% of these 50 or 40,000 women, said eat healthier and exercise versus 33% of men that their number one goal or resolution was to eat healthier and exercise more. Number two resolution that people make is better self-care with a focus on getting more sleep. So 24% of the 40,000 getting more sleep or better sleep at night. This isn't a bad one. I write about it in my book. It's one of the things that affects our biology seriously and a whole lot. But I kind of see the counteract of the two: eat better, exercise more, spend less money, get more sleep. All right, get more sleep. Sure, you certainly will sleep better if you eat better and exercise more. You certainly will sleep better. But I would tell you that sleeping has more an effect on your life than any nutrition and exercising. The research that's been done on what happens to your brain and to your body when you do not sleep is pretty scary. I think I open in my book by saying, let me just sum this up. It's terrible. It's one of the worst things you can do for yourself is not get sleep. So number two was better self-care, aka more sleep, at 24% of the people, which I think would come by doing the first three anyway. But better self-care to me kind of goes with eating better, exercise more, I guess spend less money. I don't know if that's self-care or not. But spend less money kind of throws me for a loop sometimes, right? That we blow money, right? We want to save money, put it to the side. And then this is where you find that the counteracting stuff, the contradictions, right? Where it's like, I'm gonna spend less money, but then pull up the next meme where it tells you to live life like you're dying tomorrow, right? Because you can't take the money with you. So, you know, follow the dreams, spend the money, take the chances, do that. But this year I'm gonna spend less money, right? All right. So number three, and predominantly women, actually, here. It was 29% of women get more sleep versus 20% of men saying get more sleep. The trend here, if you're not noticing, is that women are making more resolutions about better self-care than the men are. So number three is read more books. That's 18% of 40,000 people want to read more books. And look, if you're watching this podcast live, feel free to comment what your resolution is if you want to. I'd love to either hear about it or break it down for you. If you're listening to this, which you'll listen to this later on a podcast, shoot me an email or whatever. You can easily do that at cognitiverampagepodcast@gmail.com if you're not watching live on the Facebook page here. But number three is read more books. Number four, learn a new skill. 15% want to learn a new skill in what they're doing. So one, I think all this comes into self-care, right? And I do wonder this, though, I have to point out, is how many people that this is really your resolution, your goal, or is it something that perhaps we've been told we're supposed to do, right? We're supposed to eat better, supposed to exercise more, save money, read more books because that makes you smarter, I guess. You know, which you can certainly brings in the competence, right? But all of this is, I do wonder how much of this is because our society tells you that's what awesome people do. Right. Awesome people read more books. They sleep better, exercise more, eat better. Right. Nothing wrong with these things. I'm just pointing that out. Right. I'm just playing the other side of how many people, if that's really authentically where you're feeling, you know, maybe you think you're supposed to do that. And that's why it's listed as something that you're supposed to do. But I can tell you, look, I already told you what, 30%, 32% fall out of these within 30 days, 60 something percent fall out after 2 months. So 30 days, 30%, 60% in 2 months. And then by month six, 1% of people are stuck to their goal. You see, when I talk about goals, if you want to set goals, when we can set goals that identify with our beliefs of life, our true beliefs of our lives, not beliefs that are put there by TV, by marketing, by media, and then beliefs we think we're supposed to believe, well, they're more difficult to hold on to. It's hard to hold on to goals and places and things we want to do, resolutions, when they don't identify with the true self, with the true beliefs of ourselves and our lives. Because if you set out on a goal because someone tells you to, hey, you should do this, we set out on that goal, we give it a good hearty shot, and then it falls apart because it's not identified or linked to, one, our philosophies in life, and two, perhaps your beliefs aren't connected to it. It may not be something you truly believe, but yet something, a society construct, a parent, a wife, a husband, or something has told you is necessary. So you have downloaded that to be, and then we don't hold on to it, right? Then we give the excuse, well, life got in the way and we'll try again next year. So read more books is number three. Learn a new skill is number four. Well, if you're trying to eat better, exercise more, I will tell you that that is a new skill in your life. And if you learn to eat better, or you do, and then you exercise more, you are, well, learning a new skill, a practice skill, or like number two, a better self-care skill, right? And look, most people fail because they jump in, both feet, arms, and head, and they jump into trying to make massive changes in their life right away. And I'm telling you, that's not the way to do it. You got to chip at it. You got to chip at it. Make small little adjustments along the way, because it becomes overwhelming. It becomes overwhelming if you're walking into the new year going, mind you, all three number ones are tied. Eating better, exercise less, spend less money, throw in more sleep, which is pretty close to it, and read more books, and I got to learn a new skill. People are overwhelmed. And when you're overwhelmed with changes, it can all just seem like way too much. And then you just go, whoa, I'm done. You just throw it to the side because it's too much. And I even write about it in my book about the routine part and how you ease something into your life, right? You slowly weed out the bad stuff or you cut it out altogether, but then you slowly make changes. You tinker a little at a time. Change what you eat for breakfast first, right? And then maybe take a lunch to work, right? Instead of going out to eat as much. Make one goal of just saying, hey, I'm just going to go out to eat less. And look, if you're going out to eat, good luck eating healthy, all right? Just good luck. It's not going to happen, you know? So ease something in. Take an achievable goal. Take something small. Because when you hit yourself with, I'm going to eat better, I'm going to exercise more, I'm going to spend less money, I'm going to get better sleep, I'm going to read more books and learn a new skill, right? Those are the top four. My God. I mean, you're still trying to operate in your own life, right? You're still trying to work your business or work a job, much less be in a relationship, be a parent, right? You're trying to do these things that can become overwhelming. And look, these are great goals. Don't get me wrong. They're great resolutions, good things. They're healthy for you. But ease them into your life. Take something instead of all those big ones and go, hey, I'm just going to go out to eat less. Because if you go out to eat less, one, you're going to stay home and more than likely cook. And out to eat means ordering in too, motherfuckers. You can't get away with just saying, hey, I'm going to go out to eat less, so we're going to order more pizza, right? So something small like that you can keep track of. Because if you go out to eat less, well, you're probably going to eat a little better. You're certainly going to spend less money. And, well, you may not have to exercise as much or feel so guilty for eating, right? Because we like to exercise. We ate those 17 donuts and I got to exercise it off tomorrow, right? Instead of that trade-off thing, you know, set smaller goals that are a little more achievable and then add them to it. See, I do it with my workout, right? So I hit the heavy bag a lot. I do a lot of cardio, calisthenics stuff. I don't lift weights anymore. I went and did it last week just to see, right? And, you know, just the pain on the joints and things like that, it can strengthen it. Don't get me wrong. It's not my argument. But I mainly do calisthenics and I beat the bag. So when I'm coming back and I'm working the bag, I set a small goal for myself. We say, I want to go five-minute rounds. No, when I first came back, I said, I want to go 5 3-minute rounds of 1 minute rest, right? When I can do that twice in a week out of the 4 days or 5 days that I'm doing it, I'll add something else or increase the goal. So I did 5 3-minute rounds of 1 minute rest. Bam, did that twice in a week. Came back next week and said, all right, now I'm going to do 3 5-minute rounds with 1 minute rest in between. I couldn't believe it. I hit that the first time I tried it. And then I said, okay, let me see if I can make a 5-round fight for 5 minutes with 1 minute rest in between. I'd be dang. I did that the same week. I was like, wow, okay. So then I added one little workout to it, right? It's where I do some calisthenics on the side in between rounds or something like that. And you slowly grow your way toward that goal, right? You slowly build it because look, we got to where we are in life and wanting to change the things that we want to change. Not because we just said, you know what, I'm going to eat completely terribly for the next 6 months all at once. It just slowly creeps in. It slowly creeps in. And don't set yourself up for failure and willing to throw that stuff out because, well, maybe you didn't read a book, right? Tell yourself, I'm going to read one book next year, right? Instead of read more books. It's so vague. When you set goals to, make sure they're specific, right? You can look up how, you know, good goals to set up to where they're specific, they're reachable, and you can set time frames to them. Because read more books is quite, well, I'm going to read more books. I'm going to go into it. You're going to order a bunch of Amazon books. You're going to order the Cognitive Rampage off of Amazon or Barnes and Noble. Saint shameless plug. And I'm going to read more books, right? So pick a book and say, hey, I'm going to read 2 books a year, right? I don't know what your reading count is now, but don't overwhelm yourself and say, I just need to read more books. Set goals with time specific and measurable, right? So I'm going to read a book a month. Maybe that's too much. Maybe you read 10 books a year, right? Who knows? So set something small and achieve that. And then if after the first month you've reached that, man, then you can go, hey, I did that. Don't set the goals so far out, right? I mean, I came back and like I use that for an example. I'm going to do 5 3-minute rounds of 1 minute rest. The first time I came back, I didn't do it. You know, I made it, I think going into round 4 with a minute rest or round 3 with a minute rest in between and your boy needed another minute or two, right? But I didn't feel bad. I didn't make it, but I was close, right? And so the next time I knew I could do it and got a little closer, instead of saying I'm going to eat better, the minute you order a pizza, you're like, ah, I've already screwed it up. Might as well just go back to habits because remember, we are a species of habits. And picture a rat that runs the same maze. If a rat runs the same maze to the cheese over and over and over and does that for years, and then you put that rat into a different maze where they have no idea what cheese on the other end, it's going to take that rat a minute. Sometimes the rats get so confused, they just quit and they freeze. So when you're looking at behaviors that you may have built up over a long period of time of repeating, And then you just set these crazy goals for yourself. The minute you fail, you throw it all away, right? So set achievable, measurable, timely goals and put time frames on them and set your goals. Don't worry about setting this bar so high, right? If you're on Facebook enough and you watch enough of these videos that you know who my hero is, these are the people we have to be. You're striving to be these people when it can really tear you down. You know, you should be your own critic more than you allow Facebook or other people to be your critic, including my damn self, right? So look at the goals you're setting and set them to where they're achievable so you can begin to build a positive train, momentum toward that, right? If you don't run at all or, you know, say you don't do anything physically, right? Don't just say, hey, I'm going to go to the gym 5 days a week now, right? Good luck. You're going to be one of those ones that more than likely drop out after 30 days. Now, I'm not saying it's not possible, right? That you can go back and kill it and dive in there. But I'm telling you, more than likely, scientifically and mathematically speaking, statistically speaking, you will drop out. So set goals that you know you can maybe achieve, right? That 5 minutes on the bag, 3 minute rounds, 1 minute in between, right? And achieve that and then bump up the bar a little bit. Don't set the bar on Mount Everest when you're sitting down and you've never climbed a mountain before, right? Set achievable goals for yourself along the way, all right? So number five, I found this one funny. Not funny, sad really, I don't know. So number five is get a new job. Get a new job. 14% out of 40,000 people said, I'm going to get a new job this year. Now, that means you could be unhappy at the current job you're at, right? Now, I'm not that person either that's going to sit here and tell you when you watch me on Facebook going, if you don't like your job, quit it immediately. Do the thing you love to do and find what you love to do. You'll never work a day in your life. I'm calling bullshit. Okay. I've called bullshit on that on this podcast more than once. Listen, I have chased everything I love to do to make work in my life. And I can tell you that it becomes a job. Now, it's certainly good to do what you're passionate about and what you love doing, because when the job becomes the job and the job gets tough, you can lean on the passion that you have for what you're doing to get through. But that whole do what you love for a living, you'll never work a day in your life is utter bullshit. If you're lucky enough to be that person, which is a very small percentage, then kudos to you and good for you. But please, people, your Facebook and social media influencers, stop it. Stop it because you made $1 million or something, you know, on some funnel you built and some business you built. Stop telling people to say, hey, if you don't like the job you're at, quit it immediately, walk away, as if people don't have bills and kids and mortgages and things to pay for. Yeah, just walk away from it all. This is where I would encourage you to set a plan. Set a plan on how to leave that job, right? And look, I encourage anybody to try to work for yourself, okay? Because just the idea of having a boss itself is just, is icky to me. You know, that another human being, no better than you, well, you have to pucker your butt up around. You got to watch what you say. You got to kiss their butt a little bit, right? It's just a human being, just like you. I've said that to a boss before, that is when I had one that talked to me and was like, hey, you know, this and that and the other. And I'm like, dude, you're a person just like me. I leave, right? But I have the luxury to be able to do that, right? I'm not supporting 1,000,010 people, you know, so a lot of people can't do that. So 14% of people want to get a new job for the resolution. Again, make a valuable plan. Make an achievable plan here, right? You can look at your budget, pace that budget out. You can downsize, right? You can make choices to maybe get rid of the expensive car, right? Maybe move to a smaller home, sell the home. There's things that you can do to downsize the budget to be ready to make that job move. And I do encourage people to work for yourself at least once. Try it at least once. It's not for everybody. I promise you that. Look, and to think that working for yourself is some glitzy thing, that, hey, you know, I have more freedom, da 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 da. This is bullshit too. When you work for yourself, you are on the clock 24/7 because you're thinking about it when you're trying to relax. You got to try to take time to take your mind out of the job, right? And, you know, I certainly would say follow a dream or a passion, something you love to do. Give that a shot, no matter how far or outlandish. You may even be thinking, hey, there's no way I can make money at that. So make it a hobby, work it on the side a little bit, and then maybe it can become something like that. But look, You're going to need the passion if you're working for yourself when it does become a job, because I'm telling you, it all becomes a job once in a while, okay? I DJed music for a while, and that became a job, all right? Because you got to spin the music sometimes you don't want to do, right? As a comic that I've talked to other comedians out there that are true on comics, you know, you got to do the show you don't want to do sometimes. You got to do clean version jokes, right? This is just necessary. So when you hear the people that are telling you, quit your job immediately, you know, go work for yourself, it isn't for everybody, okay? Working for a company is okay. You get great benefits. You can clock out, right, on Friday and be like, whoa, I'm not thinking about it for 2 days, then get back to it. Nothing wrong with either one that you choose. And just be careful of the social media influencers that are telling you, because this can weigh on you, can begin to feel guilty. But if you want a new job, one, I would suggest build something for yourself. Because you have time to work on that. You have nights, right? You have weekends, things that you can, you know, dabble with it, try a little this or that, but try working for yourself at least once. And again, it's not for everybody, right? But try it at least once so you can say, hey, I know what that's like, you know, because like I've got great advice before and I've heard Patricia deal out this advice. If you try it and it doesn't work out, guess what? You're right back to where you are now. What happened, right? But at least now you know. And that's what I write about, short-term pain versus long-term pain. Long-term pain is when you don't give something a try that you may have wanted to typically pursue, maybe a little bit interested in trying it, but you don't pursue it. You don't try it. You don't try to get a new job or start in a new field. You know, you hear the excuses, I'm too old already. I can't go back to school. I can't do this. It's too much. I've already chosen this career, whatever. Okay, 10 years in the nightclub, 12 years almost in the nightclub business and doing that in hospitality. And then all of a sudden I'm a mental health counselor. You know what I mean? Took that left-hand turn, you know, so there's always enough time. If you're 60 years old and you wanted to be a lawyer, go to law school. You can do it, right? You can go back to it, but you can make this plan. You know, I definitely don't suggest just quitting your job and walk away, as many of these social media influencers tell you to do. That can be bad for you, but you can make lifestyle adjustments. You can adjust your lifestyle and then find a way to either create your own business or start a new job, all right? And don't be afraid to go get competent, learn, train yourself, back to school to switch fields. It's okay to do that, all right? So just recapping, number one, tied for three for New Year's resolutions, 37% across the board say eat better, exercise more, spend less money. Number two, better self-care, aka more sleep at 24%. Read more books at 18% is number three. Number four is learn a new skill, that's 15%. Number five at 14%, get a new job. Number six, make new friends. 13% of people say make new friends is a resolution. What does that say about your current friends? I'm just saying. Right? What does that say about your current friends if you want to make new friends? There's all kinds of research out there that people that have massive amounts of friends, let's just say it doesn't work out well in the science and the review of having giant groups of friends, but small groups of friends or a small group of friends seems to reflect a little better for our mental health and our social feelings, et cetera, and our career. So make new friends is 13%. Hey, at least you got some friends, right? I mean, I don't know about your current friends. If 13% of you say, I want to make new friends, it's always good to make new friends. But remember, right, we have the Dunbar number that exists. The Dunbar number, where Dunbar states that we can only remember 150 names, right? Add that to all the people on your Facebook accounts, right? The names you're trying to remember, the people at your job or in your industry that you work in, and then you add new friends to that. Well, good luck. But new friends are good. I'm a fan of making new friends. That's all right. I'm going to circle all this back when I get to number 12, by the way. I'm not just walking down these 12 and talking about them. I'm going to see if you pick up what I'm sort of picking up, right, when I get to the end of this. Number seven, New Year's resolution for 2019 is make or create a new hobby. Create a new hobby. I think you could link this with number four, which is learn a new skill. Learn a new skill or a new hobby. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't the same, but a new hobby, that's cool. If you got the time, if you're getting enough sleep, you're exercising, right? Exercise and eating better is one heck of a hobby to learn, but get a new hobby. I think hobbies are good. They're healthy. And look, getting a new hobby can introduce you to new friends because you'll be at new places doing new things, right? You know, it's also learning a new skill, whatever that hobby will be. But again, as you set these, one, remember it's a hobby, right? Try not to get so involved with it where that's all you do, right? Then you lose all your friends. But set small goals here too. And I'd like for you to keep that in mind as I cover all of these here, is how can you stage, measure, and in a timely manner achieve the goal that you set? Because I would encourage you to pick one and work on that, right? And set small steps to get to that, right? So if it's a new hobby, I talk about this. This is healthy in the back of my book. One of the last tools of change is called the I to E inventory, which basically comes off the idea of the CCE principle. If you read my book, you know the CCE principle. Competence equals competence. It equals enthusiasm. On the I to E inventory, I tell you to list down things under the I column, right? There's a column for I, a column for C, a column for C, two C's there, and a column for enthusiasm, right? And so list under there, under I, which is for interest, just things you have a little interest in, right? If you have a little bit of interest, meaning you have no competence in it and you have no experience in it, you can do this with hobbies and books as well, exercise and nutrition, which in my book is what I tell you to do. You're working the components to change, nutrition, exercise, people, places, things, lifestyle, right? And you work through that and you ask yourself, hey, what is something in nutrition? What is something in exercise / movement? What is something in reading? What is a place or a thing, right? Or a person even, like a virtual mentor or something that I'm a little bit interested in. I don't have much competence in it and I don't have any experience in it, but what's something I'm a little interested in? And you write that in the I column, right? So then what you do, how do you move something from an interest to something that you're enthusiastic in doing? You practice it, you do it, right? So as you move that little thing under interest, you say, hey, you know, I've always kind of wanted to learn how to play the guitar. I don't know anything about it, right? I know I can air guitar better than anybody else. So you write down, you know, learn to play the guitar as a thing, a new thing for the new year. This is how you work the ID inventory. And then you say, hey, you know, to do so, I got to get a little competent. Maybe I say, hey, once a week or once every 2 weeks, I'm going to set aside an hour, watch a YouTube video on how to play the guitar, start out basic, get a little competent, get a little experience. And then through that competence and experience, you can become confident that you love to play the guitar and it makes you enthusiastic. Then, you know, every time you pick up the guitar, you're going to feel the state of happiness, AKA enthusiasm. That's how in my book, I talk about happiness as being reached scientifically, that enthusiasm, that state of enthusiasm is what you're after, not happiness. So if you know playing the guitar makes you happy, right? And that state of enthusiasm, then great. You now have a thing that you've learned, a new skill, if you will. Or you also may, after some competence and experience, be confident it does not make you enthusiastic, right? So you don't do it. But so learning a new hobby is something I'm a fan of too. If that's something you want to do, add that to your life. But as we circle all this stuff in, right? So number eight, which I don't know. Number eight here, 12% of 40,000 people want to focus on appearance. Focus on appearance. Now, possibly that's what we're doing or what you're doing when you're eating better, exercising more, or when you're saying you're going to read more books, right? I'm going to get a new job, learn a new skill, add a new hobby, make new friends. All of this focus on appearance or reality. You see that separation on appearance. I'm going to focus on my appearance. Now, look, if you're just disheveled and you don't take care of yourself at all, okay, I get it that there's extremes here. Right? There's spectrums that we fall on. But to 12% of people going into the new year want to focus on appearance. I'm sorry, but this country is obsessed. This culture is obsessed with appearance. How about authenticity? How about I'm going to focus on being authentic instead of the appearance of what it looks like, right? I often, when I'm podcasting, say, hey, it always sounds good, doesn't it? Or maybe I add to that, well, it may look good, doesn't it? It may look good or sound good, but focusing on appearance, I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking at it wrong, you know, and I get it that, you know, I guess eating better, exercise more, these are healthier things. Or is it the appearance of what it looks like, right? Do you want to read more books, eat better, exercise more, get a new job, make new friends, create a new hobby and read more books because it appears better, right? Because it looks better. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a fan of that one. I'm focused on the appearance of the whole thing. Number nine, top New Year's resolution for 2019, focus more on my relationship. sorry for the poor souls that are with you. That way down at number nine is focus more on the relationship. And maybe you need to do that because you've been eating better, focusing more on yourself and exercise, right? There's that push and pull, right? If we focus more on the relationship, sometimes we don't focus on ourselves. And I read this, it was a post from, I want to remember it. I can't remember it right now. I want to give the credit where credit's due. It was, man, I read a lot of her stuff too. Anyway, it was, I'll butcher the quote anyway, but it was the idea that the nature of a relationship is actually respecting one another's solitude, right? That a relationship is not about combining each other's lives to take away the lives and fill and get rid of the solitude completely, but actually the trick is actually two people coming together in a life, but respecting the solitude of one another, allowing that person to grow individually, right? It's almost the total opposite of everything that you hear and what you hear that you're supposed to do in a relationship, right? Which is why I found it rather interesting to listen to. I was going to see if I could pull it up, but I can't really even remember the name because I'm going to butcher the thing anyway. There it is. Brain Picker, Maria Povov, Maria Pova, right? And here's the quote right here. I hoped it was the quote. That is not the quote. She posts a lot here. Here it is. Brain Picker, followed on Instagram, right? Maria Pova. It's actually Rainer Marie is the quote that she used. But a good marriage is that in which each appoints the other guardian of his solitude and shows him this confidence, the greatest in his power to bestow. A togetherness between two people is an impossibility, as where it seems nevertheless to exist, it is a narrowing, a reciprocal agreement which robs either party of both of his or her fullest freedom and development. All companionship can consist only in the strengthening of two neighboring solitudes. See, I don't know. I dug that, right? It's a totally different aspect on focusing more on the relationship. And again, you see how these resolutions are so vague that there, I mean, we set these vague goals and resolutions to where one, there's room for changing whenever we want to, but what does that mean, right? What is the specific idea for focusing more on the relationship? This again, where I'm going to circle back to the resolutions that you're setting, make sure A, they're achievable, the goals are, they're measurable, and you can achieve them in a timely fashion. So rather than focus more on the relationship, let's be specific. Let's say, hey, I'm going to set aside one day a week to where I sit down and have coffee with the one that I'm in a relationship with, and I'm going to listen for an hour, right? And let them talk, right? That's a heck of a dedication to the relationship, right? And that balance, right? That's why I wanted to read that quote. That balance of sacrificing self and our personal solitude growth, is that what that means, right? Does focusing more on the relationship mean I focus less on self? Or does taking care of yourself actually help the relationship, right? Because the relationship is only strong as the weakest person in the relationship. So if you focus more on the relationship, is that time off from focusing on yourself, right? My point is that it's vague. It can be interpreted many, many ways. So if it's focusing on the relationship, first know what and why and how you plan on focusing on that relationship and lay that out with your partner. Don't just state that out loud because you're trying to get a kiss at midnight or get out of the doghouse, right? If I'm going to focus more on the relationship, how are you or we, I should say, going to do that? What is the goal? What is the setting? What is the measurement? What is the time frame? How do we do that? How do we make those goals actionable and not vague, right? The same. And when I look at them, make new friends. Okay, I'm going to make new friends. So that means I'm just walking around with my radars up trying to find the first friend that comes my way, right? How are you going to make new friends? You know, maybe when you're trying to learn a new skill, you say, hey, when I'm at the new places learning the new skill, I'll make a new friend and make an effort to say hello and or make an effort to call back, right? Be specific about the goals and resolutions. Now, mind you, this isn't the advice that I wanted to give that I'm giving at the end of the podcast. That's not cliche here, all right? Because the goal setting stuff is pretty cliche, right? You know, making them specific, measurable, and time constrained, right? That you see, you have a time, you have what you do and how to do it. That will help you. And again, set those goals small. Set them small and slowly, slowly climb toward something larger. Don't just set this massive goal. I'm going to go to the gym 5 days a week. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to sleep better. I'm going to read more books. I'm going to get a new job, make new friends. I'm going to learn a new skill. I'm going to do all of these things, and I'm going to do it starting on January 1st. Well, maybe January 2nd, as I'm getting over a hangover, then I'm going to start it all. I'm going to do it all at once. But remember, it's damn near impossible. It can happen. Don't get me wrong. But I don't want you to set things that are so large and so vague with no actionable steps to reach those goals. And it's too much. We can become overwhelmed very easily, just as a rat in a new maze would do. And we don't go hunting at all, right? So any new goals, achievable, time structured, measurable, actionable, right? Not just focus more on the relationship, all right? The 12% of you 40,000 people that were interviewed for this random poll. All right. So number 10, cut down on cigarettes and alcohol. 9%. 9% of people want to cut down on cigarettes and alcohol after we all get wasted on New Year's Eve. Then we'll cut down. Right. So again, how can we make this goal actionable? Right. How can we make it actionable, measurable, and achievable? I'm going to cut down on cigarettes and alcohol. Well, I just won't drink every week, right? I won't drink every day. That would make an alcoholic, right? So make it actionable. Say, hey, and set something rather than saying, hey, cut down on cigarettes and alcohol. Say, hey, I'm just going to drink on this day. I'm just going to drink on a holiday or whatever, every other Saturday, something like that. Set it actionable, measurable, time constrained, right? Make them actionable. These are very vague, man. It would explain, right? It would certainly explain why 30% of people fall out of their New Year's resolution by 30 days, 60% fall out by 60 days, and by 6 months in, only 1% of people will still be sticking to their resolution, all right? So just to recap, number one, tied for three resolutions tied for first at 37% across the board, eating better, exercising more, spending less money, all tied for number one. Look, if you're just trying to do one of those, it's a pain in the ass. But people, you know, they tie it together. Pick one of those. Pick one of those, because if you learn to eat better and do it slowly, right? Again, don't just say I'm wiping everything out. Just, you know, do something like I'm not going to drink soda for the first month, right? Or the first 2 weeks, right? Do something slow. I'm gonna not go out to eat for the first month. Do something slow. Then going into the next month, remove something else and add something else. Because I promise you this, if you start eating better, you're going to want to exercise more because you're going to have more energy to do so, right? So rather than setting all three of these as your goal, eat better. If you just go out to eat, you're already spending less money, right? So eat better is going to make you want to exercise more because you have more energy. You're going to do the number two resolution, which is sleep better. You certainly will. And spending less money just from not going out to eat and eating healthier. It is a fucking myth. Sorry if you don't like cursing, but it is a myth that eating healthier is more expensive. It is not. It is not. It is not. It is not. And I'll give you two reasons why. One is the obvious. If you eat poorly, the medical bills that are coming in your life are going to be astronomical. Okay. So when you factor in 10, 15 years of eating terribly into your life of medical bills, energy, over-the-counter headache medications, doctor visits, and everything else, trust me, it's not even close. All right. Number two, it's not as expensive because more than likely, I can't remember the statistic, but almost, I think it's 70% of Americans eat double the portions recommended. So if you cut down on your portions of what you're eating, that means you're buying half as much good food as you are crap food, right? And you're eating less of it anyway. Factor in the doctor bills. It's actually cheaper, saves you time, money, and your health just by eating better, right? So eating better, add that. If you want to exercise more, add that. Pick one of those, right? Number two was the self-care, sleep more or better sleep. Number three, read more books, 18%. Number four, learn a new skill, 15%. Number five, get a new job, 14%. Make new friends, 13%. New hobby is number seven at 13%. Focus on appearance. Maybe you focus on authenticity rather than how it appears you look, okay? Don't buy the new car or something like that because you're going to dress up the appearance, right? At 12%, focus more on the relationship, 12%. All these seem pretty close. 9, 8, 7, 6, and 5, even 4, all are kind of the same, right? Because you're at 15% want to learn a new skill, 14% want to get a new job. Well, you got to learn a new skill to get a new job. 6, make new friends at 13%, a new hobby at 13%, focus on appearance, 12%, focus more on relationship, 12%. All of those are within 3 percentages from each other, right? So more than likely that may fall into a category. Number 10, cut down on cigarettes and alcohol 9%. Number 11 is go on more dates. 7% of people in 2019 out of this 40,000 interviewed want to go on more dates, but they also want to focus more on the relationship. So go on more dates. Perhaps you don't go on more dates because you don't eat good or exercise more, right? So go on more dates. I guess that increases your social circle and your chances, right? Go for it. All right. All right. Number 12, what I'm building up to now. Number 12 is what irks me. Number 12, in my opinion, possibly should be more in the top four, if you ask me. So number 12 is focus less on appearance. 3% of people in 2019, their New Year's resolution is to focus less on appearance. Now, I can already imagine the stress relief right there, right, of focusing less on appearance, less on what it looks like, and maybe more on what it is. See, focus on appearance was number 8 at 12%, 4 times more than focus less on appearance. We are inundated in this society with focusing on the appearance, how it looks to individuals, right? How we are supposed to look, how we're supposed to act, what we're supposed to do, read, learn, go, see friends, right? Focus less on appearance is one of the goals. I don't know, I liked that goal or that resolution there. But only 3% of people in 2019 want to focus less on appearance, right? You may hear this now and go, I don't give a shit. I don't care what anybody thinks, right? You may already be there, right? Well, maybe we should care a little bit, right? At least the ones that we love may think about us, but not too much, right? Following your heart is something that I certainly am an advocate for, right? So 3% of people want to focus less on appearance when the top, I don't know, 11 have everything to do with appearance, in my opinion. And not everything. I don't want to say everything. It's irrational, right? Everything's not everything. And these are individual. Again, the goals are so vague that they can mean anything to anybody, which we do on purpose. We set vague goals on purpose to where we can interchange what it really means, what we're allowed to do, whether it applies, whether this really applies. We give ourselves outs. And that's what we do. So any resolution that you're setting for yourself or goal, any time in life, whether it's New Year or later, make those resolutions measurable, time constrained, achievable, right? Make them achievable. Set them small, but specific. Be specific, right? I mean, going on more dates? Hell, you could do that, but you better be specific. You know, my mama always said, be careful who you're dating because you never know who you'll fall in love with. So you just start running out there going on dates with no standards or expectations or preferences set. If you have no standards, you just want to, hey, I got to hit that more date mark. You're just saying yes to everybody that asks you, right? And you never know who you'll fall in love with, so be careful. I can pick all of these apart, right? Even focus less on appearance, what does that mean, right? How are you going to focus less on appearance, right? How are you going to cut down on cigarettes and alcohol? How are you going to focus more on the relationship? How are you going to focus more on appearance? How are you going to learn a new hobby, a new skill? How are you going to make new friends? How are you going to get a new job? How are you going to read more books? How are you going to get better sleep? How are you going to eat better, exercise more, and spend less money? Set those goals to be achievable, specific, time-constrained, and measurable. Write down how. So take your New Year's resolution, whatever it is, if you're making one or not, or if you do later in life, and ask yourself, if this is my goal, how do I plan to get there and create actionable steps, achievable small goals along the way that add up? But remember, whatever your goal is, keep a lookout for opportunities, B's and C's, as you're on your way to goal D, okay? Because you can't predict life. If your goal is C and you're at A, you cannot predict life B. You just cannot. You can't crystal ball it. You can't predict it. And if we're solely head in the sand, ostrich head in the sand on goal C, we may miss some wonderful opportunities that life B brings us along the way. So keep your eyes open as you're headed toward the goal. Use a goal as a direction, not a destination, not this place to achieve. Set small goals, be able to measure them, make them actionable and achievable, and just crank up the volume a little bit more. Crank up the volume a little bit more, all right? So now it's time for my advice for 2018 and 19. I've given you some cliche advice already. throughout some of this podcast, and you know, the actionable, measurable goals, things you've heard before, right? I could run down the list of cut the dead weight, don't let negative people in your life, cut out all the negative people. Kind of that one bothers me sometimes when people start posting, cut all the negative people out of your life or cut all the dead weight out of your life. What happens when you're the dead weight? What happens when you hit a slump in life and you become negative? What happens? Should your friends cut you off? You see, it sounds good. If I see another meme about what people are doing for all the negative people in their life in 2019, I'm cutting them off. It sounds pretty negative. What you're posting about cutting negative people out of your life, which can be, hey, I'm not telling you it's not a bad thing to do, okay? Because you don't want to be drugged down by them, I guess. But when you play it forward, we all hit a slump once in a while and we lean toward our friends, our families, right? We lean toward them. But what if their goal this year in January, when you happen to hit a slump, is to cut out negative people or people that are weighing you down in their life, and they cut you off, and here you are looking for social strength, but you've made a resolution to cut people like you out, right? So, I mean, I could argue on a lot of these, on what people say they're going to do. And people tend to do that. They just shut it out. And the other memes that you see are funny, right? You see funny memes where they're just turning their back on 2018. They're closing the door like it didn't exist. And they're going, all right, we're in a new year. Here we go. And this is something I don't advise to do. So my direct advice that I'm giving you for your new year or the year that's passed is to, rather than look forward to 2019 and all these vague resolutions and goals and quotes that we set for ourselves, is a little bit more of a stoic approach. Because when you set these goals, we begin to bring in expectations of ourselves and the world and others that this is what's going to happen and we can be let down and this can be detrimental. I would ask you, rather than just closing the door on 2018 like it didn't happen, or turning your back on it, right? The funny meme with Shaq just knocking off 2018, or negative people and thinking everybody else is to blame for why you may not be where you are currently in your life, rather than your own choices, philosophies, and things you've decided. One, I would urge you to say, hey, I'm going to question my own bullshit going into 2019, if anything. But use 2018 to reflect back. Not just pointing out the negative people in your lives or things that, you know, didn't go your way, etc. I would urge you to even journal about it. I would urge you to journal about 2018, reflecting back on mistakes you made, not mistakes others made. And please don't do the one where you look back on the year and go, you know what I'm going to do? It was these negative people that I let in my life. I'm not going to do that again. You're going to play the martyr. You're going to play the martyr and say, yeah, I let these negative people in my life and I'm not going to do that again. Those wisecracking people, I'm on to them now. No, because from our mistakes is where we learn. If you feel guilty about some things in 2018 that you did, one, be grateful that you're a human being, because if you didn't feel guilty, I'd call you a borderline personality disorder, or you'd have some sort of personality issue if you didn't feel guilty. Guilt is good, as I tell people. Feeling guilty is good. It means you are a human being. You're not a sociopath. But where you feel guilty is where we can look at the mistakes we made and reflect on those. We can learn from those. See, it's a shame, and I mean shame, but it's a shame if we do not learn from our mistakes. If it's easier to simply go back to what was, then what you feel is not guilt, but shame. Then we go back and now there's a separation there. There's a separation between guilt and shame. When we feel guilty, you feel human. You can learn from what you feel guilty about. Learn from that mistake. When you feel shame, that's something you know you're not going to change. So you feel shameful about who you are or what you did. 2018 and the year that passes, what I'm urging you to do is not to look forward, as many people do with their resolutions, to vaguely place goals in your life that possibly are unachievable or unrealistic and not measurable and are vague just because it sounds good, or it's because what society, yourself, your parents, your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister, your kids have told you you need to do less or more of, right? Because look, I'm telling you, if you're going at a goal and it's not yours from your belief, you will fail. You will inevitably fail if it is not your goal. If you're doing it for someone else or something else, for the appearance of it, you will fail. It needs to be your goal from your inside, okay? So rather than looking so forward into 2018, it makes people feel good, right? They can shut the door on 2018, which is such a fucking waste, because you have earned wisdom through the trials you have been through in 2018. You have earned the wisdom through the shit you have been through, the mistakes that you have made. I ask you to sit down and journal about 2018, find your mistakes, but also find where you succeeded. Journal about 2018, not just about in a reflection of where you made mistakes. See, the trial here is to reflect in 2018, not to look at what other mistakes people made, what mistakes other people made, but what mistakes you made, not because of them, they, her, or something else. Your choices, what you control, which inevitably is all you control anyway, is your own choices. Reflect on those mistakes, and then as you journal, map out that mistake on possibly why that mistake or that choice or behavior you did was there. But what can you learn? What can you learn from that mistake? And then from there, set your 2019 resolutions from there, because now the resolutions are coming from your beliefs, your reflection, your work, not from society or social constructs telling you what you are supposed to appear to be. When we can set our goals, if you will, or our direction from our mistakes, then you are less likely to repeat those mistakes in the following year of your life. And you can reflect on it. And then rather than just shutting the door on the mistakes you made, right? We make them personally. We make the mistakes because we chose to think what we think. We chose our behaviors. We chose the people. We chose the thoughts. We created the feelings that shaped the behavior, not them, the other, or some other person, your job boss, or whatever. You have control of that. But when we can reflect on the following year, this is a Stoic approach anyway, the journaling and Stoic reflection response, I would urge you to do that on a weekly basis, right? Is to then reflect on the past day, the past week, but for this time, reflect on the past year and find the mistakes. Find the mistakes you made. Ask yourself why you made those mistakes in life, why you let this go, that go, why you didn't do this behavior and the other, and then figure out why. And then you can set resolutions that come from your experience, the wisdom you earned in 2018. You earned wisdom in 2018 because of your mistakes. And start with the guilt. Start where you feel guilty. If you feel guilty at a certain point, explore the guilt. Don't just download and say, hey, I'm guilty. I should be this, right? Shooting all over yourself, right? Don't do that, right? What I'm urging you to do is to analyze it. Right? Don't be self-critical. Find the mistakes and go, when? Why did I make that choice? Why did I make this? Why did I allow this? Then work backwards from that guilt. Find the guilt. Start at the guilt. Work backwards from the guilt to the mistake, to the choice, to the why. Work out from then, and then you can set a New Year's resolution that identifies with things you truly want to change, because if guilt is there, you have an authentic feeling toward it. Then you can make the changes and set a specific, time-specific, measurable, achievable goal in your life for 2019 that's coming from the wisdom you've earned from your mistakes. It's coming from your own experience, your own wisdom. You have earned that wisdom, haven't you, for 2018, and put that wisdom to work. But after and as you reflect on 2018 and just those guilt and mistakes, I also want you to go back and reflect on 2018 on when you felt happy. When were you enthusiastic? What were you doing then? What choices were you making then? What and how was I living when I felt happy, when I felt peaceful, when I felt content, when I felt enthusiastic, when I felt passionate, when I felt excited? What was I doing then? And it's already going to give you a road to happiness and enthusiasm when you walk into 2019. You see, rather than making a goal like eat better, exercise more, sleep better, read more books, get a new job, learn a new skill, these things, those are cliches. Those are cliche resolutions that this society tells you you are supposed to do that more than likely you've downloaded to be your own beliefs. Okay? I said that, all right? So when you can reflect on your own behavior, your own choices and thoughts, this is the path to the authentic. The path to the authentic you, the authentic mistake that was you when maybe you came off of your philosophy and self. And then you can also backtrack. Look, I say, when in doubt, when you do not trust your thoughts, when your thoughts are not to be trusted, when they're all over the place, and you can't trust your own thoughts, when you're thinking what I should do, what I tried to do, what I shouldn't do, when all these things are going, what you can trust is your behavior. You can trust your behavior and look back at your behavior because your behavior will tell on you. Your thoughts can mislead you. You're going to convince yourself that you did A, B, or C, or didn't do, or that they did A, B, and C, or it caused me to do A, B, and C, and it can run you around. So when in doubt of your own thoughts, look back at your own behavior in the past year. It will tell on you. That behavior will tell on you, and this is how we get to authentic mistakes, but also how we find the authentic wisdom that you have learned. Thank God you made the mistakes you did in 2018 because you can learn from them. Thank God you feel guilty because guilt is good. Guilt means you're not a sociopath and you can learn from the guilt. So the last bit of advice that I'm recapping here for you as well, before you set a resolution, some cliche resolution that you think you should do because that's what you see, because that's what you've been told you're supposed to do, supposed to look like, supposed to eat, should influence, should be a better role model, blah, 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 because of these, blah, forget it, right? Can you be the 1%? How can you be the 1% after 6 months of a resolution? How can you be a part of the 1% that's still on that resolution, right? 30% drop out in the first 30 days, 60% drop out in the first 60 days. By month six, only 1% of people are on their resolutions. How can you be in that 1%? That is what I'm telling you. This is how you become part of that 1%, is by reflection on the year, by studying your own behavior, not the negative people in your life or whatever else you'd like to blame outside of that, but your own behavior. Follow the guilt. Where you feel the guilt, ask yourself why you feel guilty. Ask yourself why you made those choices, and it will reveal to you a resolution that you can get behind and more than likely be in that 1%. And then when you combine that, that's step one, when you combine that by looking back at 2018, not just closing the door on 2018 going, ah, it didn't happen, whatever. I'm sorry. It's just naive to say, I'm just close the door. Nothing happened. That you are doing yourself a disservice because all of that shit that you went through in 2018, you're closing the door on and you don't even want to learn from it. You put yourself through the shit. You went through the shit by your own choices, actions, beliefs, behaviors, thoughts, etc. But I'm just closing the door on it like it didn't happen. Here's what it's going to do. An unactionable, unmeasurable, non-time specific goal. This is what it's going to be in 2019. More than likely, you're done in 2 weeks, 30 days or 60 days. Look back on 2018 and say, when was I happy? When was I enthusiastic? When was I passionate? When was I succeeding? When was peace, contentment? When was it there? What was I doing that week, that day, that month? What was I doing to achieve that state? And now I know actionable methods and paths, applications, things to do to achieve that again, while also learning from your mistakes. As I say, mistakes are our master teachers. Mistakes are our master's teachers. We learn from our mistakes way more than we learn from our successes. So reflect on 2018. Don't set vague goals because you're supposed to and because it sounds good. If you choose to set goals, look at them as a direction, not a destination. Slowly climb your way up that mountain to achieve what it is you want to do. Set achievable, realistic goals with time frames, actionable steps to take, and slowly ease that into your life. Slowly ease that into your life. Reflect on 2018 and please, please learn from the wisdom that you have certainly earned. If 2018 was rough for you, good, because now you have obtained wisdom. You have obtained experience, and through experience, we can gain more competence and become more confident. So if failure was your theme for 2018, then you got a lot to learn from, and you're welcome is what you should tell life, because you can learn from that. Follow the guilt, find the path, ask the why, set a resolution based on that. Then it comes from you, your insides, your beliefs, your philosophies, and slowly work your way through that actionable goal. And remember how you found that state of happiness, enthusiasm, love, peace, whatever that is for you, how you found it in 2018, and you'll already know the paths to put into place to eliminate some guilt in 2019. I love you all. I hope you're taking care of you. I hope you're living your cognitive rampage. Please be safe tonight. If you're just with yourself, enjoy yourself. Hang out. Toast one to yourself. Write it down. Have a good one. Smile. I've enjoyed 2018. I certainly have. I've had some wonderful experiences, and that's what I'm choosing to look at. I've made some mistakes too. Don't get me wrong, but mistakes that I have certainly learned from, and I plan to make those changes with actionable goals, realistic, achievable goals, time-constrained, measurable, actionable, realistic. Maybe we make those changes together, all right? But please be safe tonight. Fucking Uber, people, okay? Don't be the dude. Don't be the chick. Don't be that person that's going, I can drive, get my keys. Don't be that person, okay? Don't be stupid, all right? And if that friend is around you tonight, I give you permission to choke them unconscious and hide their keys, all right? Darce choke them, put them out, hide the keys. They'll thank you tomorrow, all right? Don't be that person. Drive safe tonight, people. Don't risk it. DUI is like 15 grand when you're walking out of it. Don't risk it. And plus, you're putting other people's lives at risk when you're driving drunk like that. Please don't. Be safe more than anything. Hug the ones you love. Kiss yourself if you don't have anybody to kiss at midnight, all right? Hug somebody. Play your favorite song. Do something. Dance. Dance like you've never danced before. Have a good time. Even if you're by yourself, crank up your favorite music and dance around the house. Dance with your dog. Dance out back. Don't care so much about appearances tonight, people. Have a good time. Respect yourself. Respect others. Thank you for sticking with me in 2018. And I'll see you more in 2019. And I hope you're taking care of you and living your cognitive rampage. Mwah. Love you. And here's my favorite midnight song that I've been playing for, well, as long as I can remember, on New Year's Eve. Play it loud. Dance for me tonight. Love you.
Coming out of my cage and I've been